Lime, duh. What up? Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast. I have a very special guest on the pod today. He is a writer for a bunch of TV shows, and he's the host of the Doughboys podcast. And how does this get played? How did this get played? That's what it is, because I'm thinking, how did this get made? Mr. Nick Weiger, what up, man?
Hi. Thanks for having me.
I know a bunch of our I botched your intro. I mean, come on. I did a true Shockmaster fashion. But I'm very pumped to have you on the podcast. I know a bunch of my
appropriate
listeners.
We're talking all out because there were some notable botches on that show, unfortunately.
Oh, my God. That's funny because I was just talking about that earlier. Yeah. That podcast, that pay-per-view is mired in controversy from top to bottom. But I'm pumped just to say, I'm pumped to have you on the podcast. We've planned to have you on the podcast before. You were my last guest booked before we lost the studio to the pandemic. So we're here making it happen over Zoom. But also I feel like a lot of my listeners, a lot of the Cal listeners are big Doughboy marks. So, they're going to be ecstatic to have you here. And, like, it's fun because you're, like, I feel like part of the reason I was telling you this off mic, but part of the reason that I started this podcast is, like, when I moved to L.A., I'd be, like, in audition rooms and in the waiting rooms talking wrestling with all these comedians, and I was like, I got to record these. These are great conversations. You know what I mean? And you're one of the dudes who's, like, in the circuit of the comedians who are at PWG, always going to the local SoCal shows, right?
Yeah. Well, and first off, I'd argue against referring to me as a comedian, but thank you. It's very flattering.
Well, you're a comedic writer. I mean, you know, yeah. Whatever. I mean, come on.
I'm around other comedians.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever. Fine.
I've been going to a lot of local shows. And hey, I'll shout out, I'm assuming past Cal guest, Mike Carlson.
Carlson's been on the pod many times.
Yeah, so. Carlson had kind of lured me into the indie scene. I may have talked about this on another podcast. I'm not sure if I've talked about it in any sort of depth, but right. I was very much a lapsed wrestling fan until I got back into going to local indie shows.
Right.
Just like two or three years ago, very recent memory is when I started doing it. And yeah. It was, So it's been an interesting journey going back to it. And then also that's coincidentally kind of lined up with the emergence of AEW, which has become my thing. Like I'm an AEW fan, and just timing wise, seeing some of these guys who ascended to PWG, either emerging, you know, they either go on to NXT or they go on to AEW. And then this whole new promotion has come up kind of from whole cloth. It's just been a fascinating time to be kind of a fan returning to the medium.
Yeah. See, genre. It's funny. And that's like when we were messaging a little before the show, I think that your fandom is very interesting and actually kind of hard to explain to people. Yesterday I was talking to a guy, nice guy, but you're like, oh, you're a wrestling fan. Immediately they jump to like Iron Sheik, Hogan, stuff like right. that. And you're like, which is totally valid. I mean, those are great cornerstones of professional wrestling. But I think people don't realize the independent movement of professional wrestling and that there are fans who like wrestling only in that capacity and are not WWE fans at all. Like you told me you don't even watch WWE, right?
I don't. So I did follow NXT, and I was pretty much before AEW came into existence.
Right.
I followed NXT pretty hardcore. The connection to the indie talent, I was able to see that pipeline. And then also just, I like how NXT, and I think it still is for when I've checked in on it, but NXT is so much more about just like matches and storylines.
Right.
And that's the sort of stuff that I like more so than skits and what have you. But going back to my childhood wrestling fandom,
right.
I followed WWE when it was WWF, but I got hardcore into WCW. That was my promotion that I was following basically until it folded. And that's pretty much the point, you know, that whole era when the Russo Twilight years, when WCW Monday Nitro was just total dog shit.
Judy Bagwell on a pole.
Exactly. Yeah. I was watching like almost to the tail end of that catastrophe. And then after that, I just kind of fell off with wrestling once, you know, WWE acquired WCW, and it was just sort of doing other things. So as far as the indies getting me back into it, it was just so much of like, just the most, just a spectacular live event. And, you know, I'm not someone who like goes to like concerts or anything, but I do like a big, you know, live performance. I do like spectacle, and it kind of just seeing, you know, these indie shows and these small houses, PWG back when it was in Reseda, in, you know, in like this right. super duper small Foreign Legion house that was super packed and probably a near lethal fire hazard. It was so like just compelling to see that energy in that space, and to see just the commitment from these live performers where they're just like, man, this is just an unbelievable spectacle. And that's what really sucked me in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so much to unpack there, and all really, I want to jump up a bit of all that shit, which is, all right, well, two things I want to talk about is PWG, because our shared experience there. And then also that you were more of a WCW mark, and WWE ruined it, kind of like when WWE acquired them, you were out. But were you watching any of like Rock, Foley stuff, Stone Cold?
I saw some of the Attitude Era. Yeah, I saw, you know, I checked in with some of that stuff, but, you know, I just was. Again, I gravitate more towards, you know,
the
storylines. Exactly. Yeah, the wrestling, and also just like what I knew, like the you know, the characters and the storylines I knew. And so having to adapt to an entirely new promotion was just like, it was just enough. And it kind of happened at the right age for me, where I was just like, you know what, I'm out. And then I just sort of checked out of it entirely.
Oh, okay. So it's not necessarily that like WCW was more match focused. It was more just that was the show you were watching, and then you didn't want to switch to another promotion.
Yeah.
The only reason I'm harping on that is because I didn't give a shit about wrestling in terms of actual in-ring stuff until I was an adult. Like, what the whole Attitude Era, right. I was like, yeah, the wrestling is kind of like a byproduct of these characters. You know what I mean? And then that's kind of where, if we jump into PWG and stuff, when I started going to those shows is when I really got into the work rate of wrestling, you know, and independent wrestling. I feel so lucky. I moved to LA like 6 years ago. And one of my buddies was like, let's go to this PWG show. I remember the tickets were like $70, and I was like, it's pretty fucking expensive for this like independent
show.
Super
expensive.
Right? I was like,
it's outlandishly expensive.
Yeah, because you're like, he's like, yeah, it's you wait in, we got to get there at like 2 p.m. We got to wait in line. It's in like, we might be standing. Getting beer is extremely difficult. I was like, this show's $70. I've seen like Pearl Jam for $40. You know what I mean? And and then like, but then you go and you're like, wow. Now any PWG shows I've skipped since they've left the American Legion Hall, I'm like, wow, that was a mistake. I should have went to all of it. You know? Because it kind of, it's like,
yeah, totally agree. It's such an event. It's such a spectacle, and I've tried to go to basically every one. And I think the only ones I've missed have been when I've been out of town. But yeah, it is super duper expensive. But I definitely feel like you get what you pay for. I feel like it's like there's a, you know, it's I've felt like I got my money's worth, even from going to the first one, not really having expectations of how blown away I would be, just knowing like this is a lot of money to spend. Possibly ironically, like, I don't know, you know, right. And then going in and being like, oh shit, no, this is 100% for me.
Yeah, no, it's a total, it was a total blast. But it's like funny because, if you just accept, like, people don't understand, they've moved out of this American Legion Hall, but if you've never been to a PWG show, and I know a lot of my listeners have not, it's literally like I don't know. It's literally like, I want to say the size. It's like 60 by 30, the room, if I had to say the size of it. It's small.
It's pretty small.
How many people jam-packed in there? Probably, I mean, so illegal. It was at times like 1,000 people in that space, right? And you literally be shoulder to shoulder with everybody. And
yeah, the rows of crowd, like, you know, chairs basically all the way to the wall, you know, and then and such a small gap between the ring and, you know, like people literally pounding on the apron, which I know happens in a lot of indie shows, but here it's just so packed with humanity. And so, yeah, I'm sure that's part of it. It's just part of it. It gets super hot, super duper uncomfortable right. in the summer, like all the bodies in there, and then and just how poorly ventilated it was, and how much asbestos you were probably inhaling. But it's just like you match that with just like I was literally watching, you know, Chuck Taylor wrestle Ricochet. Just like the level of talent that you were seeing was just like, this is fucking unbelievable. I watched like a half dozen Keith Lee matches all the way up until he got, picked for NXT, and now he's on Raw like every week. It's just like, and I was just seeing these, I watched Keith Lee wrestle Walter. I was like, you were seeing that caliber of match, and you're 5 feet away from it. And like the athleticism and the talent and the charisma that you're seeing from these in-ring performers, it was absolutely just an unbelievable thing to absorb. And you really felt like you were part of like a scene, I guess. That's the vibe I got.
Yeah, you knew you were watching something special. Like, exactly. You'd see Keith Lee, watch the Young Bucks constantly wrestle in there. The craziest thing to me is Drew McIntyre I watched wrestle in there. And, like, he is the current WWE champion. He's about 6'6". He probably weighs, what, 270, 260. He's, like, made of steel, and he's in his full, like, leather, gorgeous duster, his trunks, like, just coming out of the dinkiest entrance you've ever seen, like an Adonis.
Right.
Because, like, you know, I'm a comedian, right? And I performed at UCB for years. And, the metaphor, those things track almost perfectly. Like the New York UCB and LA scene, but specifically New York, it was a basement of a grocery store, literally sewage would leak on our heads during the shows. And you'd be like doing a scene with Amy Poehler. And like the next, many famous comedic actors who exist now would perform on that stage, and you could see him for $5 or whatever. But like comedians, we're kind of like trash people or whatever. Like we'll perform on like in corners. We're used to that. But wrestlers have to they shave their body hair. They get tanned.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they put on their full costume. They're like selling this gimmick in this fluorescent lit cube, like of a tiny trap, a fire trap. And so with wrestling, it's so much weirder in that way. You know?
Well, yeah, and I think that's again, I think that's a great observation, and I think that distinction is honestly part of what appealed to me. Like having watched so many, you know, slouching dudes in flannel shirts shrug their way through a half-assed Herald, and then contrasting that with just like, oh, just the utter commitment
right.
of someone just working their ass off in the ring, trying to get everyone either to love them or to hate them. And seeing that level of just like proficiency and professionalism on display. Like I was just like, this is such an unbelievable live performance. This is what like the indie comedy scene, like the indie comedy scene should have this level of like commitment and presence, you know? And so like, I think it probably kind of in ways made me feel like, oh, I wasted so much of my life to doing like, this is so much cooler than anything I've ever been involved in, you know?
Yeah. Well, like the funny thing is that whatever, you know, I mean, you know, we're getting in the weeds of it, but I do find it really interesting. And why, like, I think that, we meet a lot of, you know, I know I do, and I'm sure you do. You meet a bunch of wrestlers. Have you had a bunch of wrestlers on Doughboys? Have you had wrestlers on there?
We've had a couple. We had the Bad Boy, Joey Janela, and then we recently had Colt Cabana on the show,
right?
Which was a real treat.
Ooh, I got to get Joey on here. I've had Colt on the pod before. Awesome guy.
Yeah, Colt's great.
Yeah.
Joey's great, too.
Yeah. But, like, there is this kinship between the wrestler comedian. Like, I don't think I've ever met a wrestler that I didn't, you know, besides if I met him in kayfabe or whatever, who I didn't get along with right away. Because especially the times where I've done a show, they've watched and I've met wrestlers backstage. That's when they really are like, all right, we're all doing this thing together, which I always think is awesome. But back to PWG, like It's crazy. Yeah, you're right. There's no such thing as like half-assing it, right? Like you do like a you could do if you're a comedian, you get up, you have some no matter how high a level of comedian you are or not, if you get on stage for a show, there's times you do show you, it was bad. All right, not a lot of people showed up. You know, I've seen like Seinfeld get on stage. There's not that many people there because he just popped up surprised. You know, it's just kind of part of the thing. But with wrestling, like you can't really like half-ass it. You have to go balls to the wall, and it's amazing. Some of these guys were killing themselves, and it's like in off the off chance that like Regal, like Steven Regal sees it or something. You know what I mean? It's
amazing. It is really amazing, and just like, you know, also just the that for me was the big thing about watching these indie shows, because I'd seen some live wrestling before, but it was like back in the day, it was like WCW Monday Nitro came to the Staples Center, or WCW, you know, house shows or whatever. The difference between seeing an indie show is like seeing some of these high spots in person, where it's like, oh, that's the balcony that's like above where I'm sitting, and this guy is gonna, and I know that's 12 feet high, and this guy is gonna fucking do a moonsault off of it. I'm just like, that stuff is so stressful and engaging. But then also there's parts of it where I'm like, ah, God, I don't, you know, it's the please don't die chant, just internal, you know, it's just like, oh man, this is stressing me out so much. I can't believe someone would risk this and that someone could pull this off and that I hope they're not doing long-term damage to their bodies and well-being.
Yeah, I mean, specifically some PWG spots that we probably both were present for that like that I still remember. It was I was at Bola. Did you go to Bola this year? Or maybe that was early 2019? I don't know.
Yeah, whenever the most recent Bola was, I was there, yeah.
Right. So you remember Bandido? He did like a backflip off of the pole, and he hit his feet on like the mezzanine level.
Yeah.
That I was right at the bar ordering a drink, and he landed like – I didn't even know he was doing that spot. Kind of turned around, and then he landed in front of me. Like, he didn't even, check – like, we're all supposed to – they all – like, they trust you as the audience member. Like, you're going to get out of the fucking way. You know what I mean? But, like, can his feet get caught? I mean, right onto the concrete. Maniac.
Yeah. It's so and you know, that's like a world-class talent, and it's just like, man, that is such a degree of risk – for, you know, for this show. But I mean, that's I guess what's amazing about it.
Right. And then Janela, talking of Janela, one of the bowlers, maybe is the bowler even before that, he I think was wrestling Bandino again and did like took him off the top rope in kind of like a sidewalk slam kind of position and just threw him over his head onto a bunch of chairs, like from the top rope. And his leg was already fucked up going into the match.
Yeah, I remember, and I also there was a spot where there was a spot, not a high spot, but the it was oh man, why am I blanking on it? Jeff Cobb fucking suplexed Janela onto some chairs as well, and it just like looks so gnarly, but like so, or wait, no, I think he suplexed him while he was seated in a chair. He like grabbed the chair and Janela together. It was just like,
oh, and then did he land back on the like? I know he gets suplexed on the chair and then landed kind of in a seated position after.
Yeah. Like, yeah, and it was just like, oh man, that's so cool looking, but also like I don't know how you did that without hurting both of you.
I think that they just both get hurt.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. that's the grim side of it, and that's the part where I'm just like, if I ever feel, you know, like so here's another thing I was saying. I know you had David Arquette on the show recently.
Yeah, I had him on last week.
Yeah, and
Maniac.
He is a maniac, and I was speaking of indie shows, I was at the indie show with Mike Carlson, the aforementioned Mike Carlson, where
the Nick Gage match.
Yeah, exactly. And I saw the gash in his neck, and I saw just how like fucked up he was. And that was not the only thing that happened in that show that just seemed insanely dangerous. Also at that show, Marco Stunt wrestled, I believe, Eli Everfly, and Marco broke his leg and was unconscious. And it was the kind of thing where it's just like I just watched four refs just like carrying him out, basically like fireman carry him out. And I was like, man, this seems like I don't know if just because of the, you know, because this is a little bit more of an underground show, people are taking bigger risks or whatever. But that was the stuff where I'm just like, ah, God, I'm not really having fun anymore tonight because I'm so upset by how hurt people are getting. And I wish there was a way to. it's a balance with something that's you know, risky and fundamentally everyone's doing stunts. But like, I wish there was a way to you know, not have that sometimes nauseated feeling while I'm watching while I'm watching wrestling.
You know, it is. You actually brought that up with Arquette actually last week, because I was talking about that match with him, and it's in his documentary. They show the footage, and they have this eerie shot that probably you saw live in person, where like he realizes he got nicked. He realizes like, oh wow, I really cut my neck pretty bad here, and I was, you know, it's so hard to watch, and I was like, Dave, you know, we don't need those death matches from you, man. Like, don't get pulled that way. But I also kind of like, to be honest, with the death matches, I'm not that into the death match stuff. It's not why I watch pro wrestling. You know, I understand there's an audience for it. I don't think that, and I understand that it's the passion of some wrestlers, and there is ways to incorporate some of those skills into a match like that I can get into. But like, purely like, I'm a death match guy. I don't work out. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't care at all about my characters. Just like, I cut people with fluorescent bulbs. I tend to just be like, this is kind of just like lazy. And I know someone could argue with me hard, but it's just not it's not why I watch pro wrestling. And it hurts me to think like Arquette thought he had to do that, you know, which is what I wanted to express to him, you know?
Yeah. I totally get what you're saying. I do think there is a part of me that really admires that he just fucking went for it. I think he maybe just didn't realize what he was in for, you know? And I'll also say, I'm not the biggest I'm not the biggest death match fan either.
Right.
But I have seen Nick Gage a few times do some, and he is just, again, just such an amazing charismatic performer who just is over with the entire crowd. And I've just never seen anyone have that kind of connection. And I guess it's just sort of like, people there aren't like, the carnage is part of the appeal of it, obviously. But part of it is just like, this guy's just so fucking good at what he does. I just like the way he is able to convey his own energy and make the audience feel like what he wants him to feel is just like, this guy's a fucking unbelievable performer.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's all like preference, you know. Like that he's no knock on, you know, and I didn't even mean him specifically, because like Foley's one of my favorite wrestlers.
Oh,
ever.
No, I didn't think you did.
And I know. And but then so I'm kind of contradicting myself by being like, well, I like what he did, but he had to get that to get his talent. He had to go through the hardcore deathmatch scene. You know what I mean? But man, you're bringing up the ultimate point you're bringing up is so interesting, which is like, we love seeing this. I love seeing the spectacle that is pro wrestling, but I do hate the sacrifice that these guys have to take. And it is unfortunate that it does come down to do a lot of the stuff that we dig. There is always a risk of injury, you know?
Yes. Well, I in particular, like the deathmatch stuff isn't 100% my speed. I'll watch a deathmatch and, you know, the stuff will make me wince. I don't love blood all that much, but I do love just like a super duper committed, you know, performance. So I'll admire it on that level. But the thing that I cannot take even at all in any context is like a headshot, particularly an unprotected headshot. I'm just like, this is so, I don't care how indie you're trying to be. Right. Like, I just like, I don't want to see this. This is upsetting me. And I know that you're partly doing it because it's not something that you're supposed to do in this current climate, but that even just distresses me more. Just knowing that the amount of, like, that's just like years off of your life when you're taking a fucking a fucking chair to the head.
Right. And the headshots headshots in general, it's funny because I don't know if it's funny, but man, when I was a kid, I didn't think 2 seconds about those headshots. Like par for the course. Like now like you see one and none of that, there'd be multiple in a row, like Foley take like 15 from The Rock or whatever. And now I see a single headshot, and you're right. That is worse than anything that they could do. Any cuts, anything. You just see one hit. Like, Cody took that headshot, sometime last year, and that was brutal to watch from Sean Spears, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah, I love Cody. I'm a huge Cody fan, but that shot, that was just like too much for me. And the stitching afterwards, I was like, this is fucking gnarly. Yeah, I'd rather get to watch someone get paper cuts in the webbing of their fingers any day, as much right. as that even makes me want to puke.
Oh, man, I know. Well, all right, let's transition into AEW for a second. This is a perfect spot. So you saw a lot of this indie talent that you had seen from bar wrestling, PWG, the whole like LA scene, make up a big portion of the roster over at AEW. So that's probably why it was easy for you to port over that. So you're an exclusive Dynamite watcher.
Yeah, since AEW came on the scene, that's what I've been following. And I'll preface this whole thing by saying that once lockdown happened, once COVID right. happened, I fell off watching even AEW all that often. I'd like check in with it, but just right. like, again, so much of the watching wrestling for me is watching someone engage with a crowd.
Right.
And so having that removed, I was just like, I wasn't as checked in for a while. But I love AEW. I love the talent. I love the roster. I love how focused it is on just like wrestling. My issue with WWE more so than, just like, I think even a WWE fan will concede that there's just sometimes some dumb shit, but it's like mainline WWE. I just feel like there's just way too much for me to consume and I'm overwhelmed. Like I can't right. watch like 3 hours of Raw and 2 hours of SmackDown every week. It's just too much for me. Whereas NXT one, 2 hour show, like, yeah, I can follow that. Or
right.
I'm sorry, AEW rather, and NXT as well.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really, for the pod, I watch it all, but there are weeks that I struggle to fit it in, and I can't imagine. I can imagine, to my friends recently who they're wrestling fans, but they're like, with all the COVID changes, they're like, I just can't get like 10 hours of wrestling in. I got no commute. I got no, you know what I mean? And I'm like, well, 2 hours of AEW's gotta feel pretty nice. Like just 2 hours a week plus those pay per views that are like quarterly, essentially, right?
Yeah,
I imagine that's pretty good. But so what? So you watched All Out, and were you catching? Were you watching anything leading up to All Out? Like, did you get back into it, or?
I just sort of seen some, I'd seen some previews and sort of strung a lot of stuff together, mentally. I hadn't been like checking in with Dynamite all that regularly right. leading up to it. I just I for the most part I watched it pretty cold, honestly. But it was peripherally aware of some of these some of the storylines, and some of the alliances. I will say that I didn't watch it live, and so I knew about the in particular the Matt Hardy botch that was so just. Again, speaking of headshots, was just so hard to watch and even think about. But if I'd watched it live, I think I might have had a different perception, because that is just, that happens, I think in the first half of the show, it happens fairly early, and it's such a bad, it looks awful. And it just hovers in your mind the whole time.
Yeah.
Having watched it a few days after and knowing that that everyone seemed for the most part semi-okay in the aftermath, I was able to enjoy the individual matches a little bit more. Because I do think that outside of that, it was honestly a pretty good card. I think it was a pretty decent PPV.
Yeah, I mean, I said I liked it. I felt like, we on the pod, we have like a live comments going in the Facebook group, and I felt like this was probably the All Out pay-per-view people were the least happy with, and I think a lot of it had to do with the length of it, and I think it was longer than most of them. Some of the matches felt like a slog to some people, and I also think the card was not particularly it wasn't particularly that exciting of a card, I felt like, and the build. This was like the least they were clicking. Though I said that coming out of it, I'm really excited the direction stuff is going out of the pay-per-view, and I still think it was a good watch, this pay-per-view. In full disclosure, I had no power and watched it in my car on my phone to have air conditioning.
Wow.
Because of the temperature, my power was out.
I gotcha.
Yeah, it sucked. But, yeah, I think Yeah, I mean, this, you know, I mean, we can talk about the matches, but the controversy in this card, you just hit right on, like, the Matt Hardy thing was kind of nuts. He hit his head pretty bad, but also the weird thing with it was that Aubrey, the ref, threw up the X, like, oh, let's, we got to stop the match. But then the match kept going. Apparently, the doctors came, looked at Matt Hardy, said he was good to go. He said he was good to go. And so they put it on a little, I think they, you know, the match was on a little delay, so then they edited it, and the match kept going, you know? But his wife was really pissed on Twitter. I don't know if you saw any of that.
I heard about that. I didn't see the tweets, but I heard that, yeah, she was livid. And I mean, they should have just stopped the match. It's tough to second-guess something when it's live and, you know, everyone's they're having to make a snap decision. But I just would like it if I guess – it feels like maybe ultimately the internal culture has to be more oriented towards, okay, something like that happens, just stop the match, we'll figure it out later, you know, more so than like, oh, like we don't want to stop the match unless we absolutely have to. So can he continue? Okay, he kind of can. Let's have him, you know, stagger to his feet by almost pulling Sammy Guevara's, you know, trunks off, and then watch him try to climb scaffolding while everyone like holds their breath.
Right.
You know, a lot of this stuff was just, it was just so stressful to watch. After he was just clearly, I guess they were now saying he wasn't concussed, but he had certainly appeared to be concussed.
Well, his wife is like, he's 1,000% concussed. Look at his eyes. Like he was, but the ref doctor saying he's not. I think concussions are kind of hard to prove after the fact, right?
Got it.
I don't really know the details of it, but I guess my question to you, because I find it interesting that you kind of popped out and you came back in. And so you've seen Matt Hardy in AEW. Is this what you want out of Matt Hardy, to be doing, taking bumps like this? Like, you know,
I don't, I mean, I there reaches a certain point where I guess it's like, I'm more worried than I am able to appreciate that someone with this, that's a legend, that has legend status, has still got it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. That to me, in that particular spot, I think there's probably a way to pull it off where it's a little less risky. And if things go sideways, the outcome is a little less disastrous, but watching it, it just bummed me out. I think overall, just how it was executed. And, so I guess no is my answer to your question. I guess I probably don't like this degree of risk.
Right. Like that's how I feel. Where it's kind of like Matt Hardy took over the wrestling scene with this broken character with Final Deletion and his creativity. And then it's like, oh, he's going to go back to doing what he was doing like 20 years ago, falling off ladders and stuff. And it's like, we don't need that from you. It's uncomfortable if your wife's going to be going public with that also. We know you have kids. So it's like, I just don't need him to take bumps like that. Luckily for him, he can get over in so many other ways that it seems like he needs to kind of have that like Foley moment that was in Beyond the Mat, where it's like, all right, like you're not, you know, after he took those chair shots in front of his kids and you're like, all right, it's time to change my style up a little bit.
Right.
You know? And luckily for Matt, I never cared about him falling off stuff, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to try to get inside someone's head, but it does sometimes feel like it's, you know, you are that status. You maybe are just like, you can do something, or you feel confident that you can do something, and you kind of need someone else to kind of be like, hey, maybe not, you know, and you kind of need someone else to try to push you away from it. But there's probably a way to pull that off that's just maybe a little bit less intense and a little bit less, you know, honestly, like that, maybe that lift was just lower, you know, I think there's probably a way to still sell that.
Yeah.
But I just, as such, it was just such a crazy thing. And that they continued the match was, I don't know, man, I couldn't even believe that Hardy was able to climb that scaffolding and, you know, pull that other spot off with Sammy. I was just like, man, I don't know. I'm amazed that he was able to pull that, to do that and not injure himself further.
Yeah. So apparently they said that they had tried it a bunch with the trainer or whoever was the stunt guy or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And they had run it a bunch, probably with crash pads is my guess. And like they'd done practice runs on it. It went great. And then this one was completely botched in the moment,
yeah.
Which you never fucking know, because it looks like Sammy got too much momentum when he hit him, you know?
Right, yeah. And again, you know, I had the benefit of watching this on delay, so I think did you watch it? You watched it live, it sounded like?
I watched it live, but then I started a little late, and then I caught up, and then I stopped and had to go back. So it was kind of a mess because of my power right. situation. Yeah. Yeah.
But what was your feeling watching it at least day of and not necessarily knowing what the outcome was? Like, what was
the
Matt? How did you react to
Matt bump?
Yeah.
Well, specifically with the Matt bump, I had heard about it before I saw it.
Okay.
So, because that was like, I think the sixth match of the night. So by then I had to go back a little bit. And so I already knew something went down. I didn't see the clip till later, but, so I didn't get to watch it in a perfect vacuum. And to be honest, when I watched the clip of it later, it doesn't, like, it looks bad, but you also have to look for it because it's not like yeah. his head doesn't like bounce. No, this is kind of graphic, but his head doesn't like bounce off the concrete. It doesn't split open with a bunch of blood or anything.
Right.
It just like you have to kind of know like, oh, the ref kind of goes nuts and throws up the X and he hits his head and he's kind of non-responsive for a second. So it's, you know what I mean? Like, I guess I'm so, I might be so desensitized at this point that, like,
right.
without some color, I don't know. But him and Guevara have been beating the shit out of each other this whole feud, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, like, Sammy cracked open Matt during their first, like, encounter leading up to this match, and his wife got mad on Twitter then, too. So it's just been kind of a disaster of sloppiness, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean that's a bummer. It's that said, I thought there was a lot of other good matches on the night. I mean, you know,
oh, yeah.
The Young Bucks Jurassic Express I thought was a very solid match. Jungle Boy, I think we talked about Joey Janela a little bit earlier.
Right.
And Janela, like, I went to you know, I used to go to the GCW shows that he produced, the indie shows.
Yeah.
And I saw Jungle Boy first at one of those and was just like, this kid's unbelievable. You know,
yeah.
he was like 19 or something at the time. And I was just like, man, this guy is so good. And then I saw his first PWG match and saw him do PWG a few times and then saw him like on TV. And it was just like the same sort of going back to comedy. It was like seeing someone, you know, do an improv jam and then seeing them on Herald Night and then seeing them on, you know, SNL. It's just like, oh, that, yeah, that person has a fucking amazing yeah. degree of talent. You kind of just watch that to watch them ascend that quickly. It's like,
right.
oh yeah, but that's amazing to see.
It's a blast to see that, like the amount. And I think that's like a cool, you know, like you said, with a guy like Keith Lee, it's such a cool thing about the indie scene.
Yeah.
Like, my first PWG show was Roddy Strong's last PWG show.
Oh, wow.
And I remember showing up there. I it was my first time ever because I just kind of moved to L.A. And he was in the main event, and then he was selling like he did a goodbye promo to everybody, and he was selling like his last shirt, his like final goodbye shirt. And I was like, oh, man, it sucks. This guy, he's like, he's retiring and he never made it. Like, I was like, what a bummer for this guy that like he's done wrestling. He's probably moving on with his life.
Right.
And then it was like, oh no, he's moving to fucking Full Sail. He's in better right. shape ever now. And he's like a big deal in NXT. I was like, oh, that was like my first experience. So I'll always love Roddy Strong just from that moment of seeing his last show at PWG, you know? Like, it's
yeah.
such a great feeling to see guys on indies ascend to, like, WWE. Like, just to see, like, Keith Lee in the Royal Rumble. You know what I mean? That was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, with Brock. Anytime you see someone that you watched on the indies next to Brock Lesnar, it's always wild.
Yeah, I mean, it's Keith Lee in particular. I saw a bunch of his PWG shows and went to his retirement show and like actually yeah. talked to him a little bit there at the end. And it was just like, I felt like I was just talking at him, telling him like how much a fan I was of his. And I was excited it was to watch him ascend. He's kind of like, all right, sure.
Yeah, you're basking in his glory.
Very nice, but it was like that guy just blows my mind, like his athleticism and then just his raw charisma.
Right.
Two things that I think, again, this is part of why wrestling was a thing I was initially a fan of and returned to, is because like I'm not athletic and I'm not charismatic. I am just a fucking void of both. And so to see people who can embody that, I'm just like, this is unbelievable. I thought the Dark Order match was good. And I really like the finish there. I like Colt Cabana.
Really good in that match.
It was really good. Yeah. And I like the Brody Lee scolding Colt Cabana. I like Colt Cabana's like kind of like the way he fits in with the Dark Order, I think is great.
Cause he's kind of like not, he's in, but he's like not in. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's like he's kind of trying his best, but it's not a perfect fit. But like, you know, everyone's kind of tolerating him.
Right. Like he doesn't wear a mask and he like just changed his trunks this week to like almost their colors. And I think that's kind of like a cool thing. That's funny. I actually texted him when he first started. Colt was like first joining the Dark Order or whatever. And I was like, dude, you got it. Like they were trying to like court him, you know? And then I like was like, dude, if you have any questions, I joined the Dark Order. It changed my life, man. Like the best decision I ever made. Also, sidebar, you saying that you have no charisma means that you do have charisma. you can't say you have no charisma. That's a charismatic move. I'm just saying.
hey, I'll take it. I also say I thought the battle royale was good. There was an enhancement talent. I gotta look up his name, but there was a guy who usually does AW Dark, and he is but he was like really good and he was in that match a lot.
Is it Will Hobbs?
Yeah, Will Hobbs. Will Hobbs was that guy's awesome, and I hope he gets.
I didn't know who he was either.
Roster.
He's the guy who checked in on Matt Sydal when he fell.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Did you know who that guy was? I had no idea.
I just like I know he'd been on he'd been on the YouTube show.
I haven't watched that much Dark. I did in the beginning of it, and then late, like you know, man, dude, how many hours do I got?
Right, exactly.
I'm already on like a 40 hours a week. I got a full time wrestling job at this point. Yeah. But you're right. Good call. I actually wouldn't have mentioned that. He was a good time. That guy.
Yeah, and that whole match I thought was fun. He's got a great look and great. I mean, seems like a great gimmick. It was in the unenviable spot, I think, of basically coming right after the Matt Hardy Sammy match, but right. the Sheeta Thunder Rosa match. I was like, I'm a huge Sheeta fan. I think she's awesome, and right. I have a Hikaru Sheeta shirt. And Thunder Rosa, I wasn't as familiar with. I don't watch NWA at all, but like, I was like, man, she is fucking awesome. And they had just really great in-ring chemistry. And I hope Thunder Rosa has more of a presence in AEW.
Yeah. So Thunder Rosa, I didn't know much about. I knew of her. I watched her two matches, the one she had on Dynamite and then their match. Their Hikaru Shida Thunder Rosa match, I thought was a really good match. Thunder Rosa had her, like, she gave like a DVD, like a Death Valley driver on the apron, which I thought was pretty fucking badass. The only thing about Hikaru Shida, I like Hikaru Shida, but I would like to know more about her deal. I feel like they don't spend a lot of time developing. They don't give her a lot of time for me to like get to know her at all, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's maybe, and again, I fell off a little bit during COVID in terms of the storytelling, but yeah, I think that's just like, there hasn't been like a clear feud. It feels like she's just kind of had she's had the title for a while and just fought a series of contenders. But you know there might be something if they can have a Sheeta Thunder Rosa storyline or something, like maybe there's a way that could merge. I think Sheeta's awesome. I think she's such a great performer. I think she can elevate anybody, and I think she's I really like her, and I think she's whatever anyone wants to say about the women's division. I thought that match was great, and then the Mimosa Mayhem match was perfectly. Like dumb, like yeah. I was into that.
The Mimosa Mayhem match, I thought was such a dumb idea, and then when it happened, I knew I was right. I was like, man, I don't give two shits about this. Like, I'm like, this is the stupidest gimmick match I've ever heard of in my life. But it's like, if there's ever two guys who are gonna do it and it's all good, it's those two guys.
Yeah.
And the place, the spot on the card was perfect. Just as like the cool, like right before the main event. I just thought,
yeah, great.
I enjoyed it, but it, man, was it dumb. And I also think like, I like goofy Jericho, but what really works for me is like winning Jericho, you know?
Yes.
And I'm not ready for him to be losing this many matches.
Right. Yeah, it was. I mean, I think there was. It was gratifying for him to, you know, go into the mimosa bath, and also just like, I thought it was clever that you got the, you know, we got the orange juice thing versus the bubbly thing, and we find a way to merge them with mimosas. Like on that very base level, I was like, that's very clever.
But the concept of taking these two guys and then incorporating mimosa was fun. I agree.
Yeah.
But a mimosa mayhem match is like just so stupid.
Outrageously stupid. Yeah. Very dumb. But Orange Cassidy, again, another guy I saw in the indies, and he was like the guy that like as he was coming out, someone was just like, you got to check like this. You got to watch this guy. And like just his man, his gimmick when he was being the guy who just doesn't give a shit, because that's the only way I ever saw him wrestle on the indies was just him basically giving basically no effort.
Right.
And it's so cool and so genius, and his physicality, his way of embodying it is just like so good.
The people like Orange Cassidy is just like has an undeniable charisma, and the guy's just so over that like on TV, it's like, of course, people are still loving it. He's one of those wrestlers where it's a bummer. He's one of the, you know, it's for every wrestler, but he's one of the ones specifically where not having the crowd sucks. Like,
yes,
it sucks. Cassidy is all crowd. He's all engagement. And so, like, you know, some of his thunder gets really lost without the crowd, and it's kind of annoying. And that match needed the crowd to be like, whoa, they're going to go in the mimosa. Like, you needed people to be like, whoa. And you kind of lost some of that fun. And I feel like that match was one that really, really took a beating in the COVID weirdness, you know?
Yeah, I mean, did you get a sense? Because I will say that I did like that there was, even though it wasn't like the most, you know, vocal or dominant presence, but just like the socially distanced outdoor crowd. I was like, it's just nice having a little bit of that energy.
It makes a huge difference
in the you know, in the arena. But yeah, I totally get what you're saying. And then like, can I just say that I'm sorry for just kind of running through the card
it's all good. I got it in front of me. You move however you want. Be my guest, okay? That's that charisma running wild.
I can read through an outline.
This guy, listen, he thinks he has no charisma, but this guy can go through a Wikipedia page. Like, he makes it into art, man. He turns it into art.
He'll copy-paste bullet points into a Google Doc.
Yeah.
And very, very neutrally go through them. I was going to say that revival, like I love the revival in NXT. So when I got back into wrestling, and this was before AEW existed, I literally watched every single like NXT pay-per-view that was on WWE Network just like from the beginning. I went through and I watched all of them in order.
Ooh,
so I watched
awesome.
All these kind of like storylines in like, you know, 3-month increments. And one of the, you know, one of the tag teams sets of talent I really got into was the Revival, and they were like, I just thought like, oh man, these guys are so good. They work together so well.
Yeah.
They kind of do all that like heel tag team stuff.
No
so
flips,
effectively.
Just fists.
Exactly. Love it. Just totally love it. And so I was so, so happy that they got an AEW, and I think they're like they're getting to be themselves. And I you know, don't follow WWE, but I was aware of some of the kind of like more degrading shit that it felt like they had to do towards the end of their contract, just to sort of like, you know, and I was just like, I was less into that, but watching them AEW, I'm like, oh, this is great that they kind of just get to be themselves and get to thrive. The FTR match with Omega and Hangman, I was like, I thought this was a good match. And again, another good finish here.
The finish was really good. Again, that was my whole point about this pay-per-view, is that what it sets up is more exciting than the card itself. is how I felt.
Yeah, I totally get that. Yeah.
Like, for example, when we were back to the, like, because, like, Dark Order match, it was like Brody set up Colt Cabana for the win, and then Colt Cabana blew it, and then Brody's pissed at him, and Dustin Rhodes, Goldust got the pin, and then it earned Goldust a shot at Brody Lee tomorrow night on Dynamite. For the TNT Championship, and that's like, you know, Brody Lee's gonna beat the living shit out of him.
Yes.
Or you might see Cody run in try to help him, and Cody's already teased his logo with like dripping blood on his Instagram, and so it's like, oh, that's all fun going forward. But if you tell me an 8-man tag match, I'll almost never be excited for an 8-man tag match.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah,
right.
I was just gonna say, like, on that front. This is a total tangent, but since you brought up Dustin Rhodes, were you at the first All Out, the one in Vegas?
No, I was not. I should have been, though. That, what a great show. Yeah,
I was there. I was lucky enough to be there, and that the Dustin.
Wait, the
Rhodes
one in Vegas
match,
or the one in the Sears Center in Chicago?
Well, this is the one in Vegas. I think the
you mean
the
Double or Nothing.
Shit, I'm sorry. Oh, Double or Nothing. Yes, yeah, yeah.
Like where Moxley debuted, right?
Yes, yeah. I did go to All Out, but I was talking about Double or Nothing. Yeah,
right.
You corrected me.
You're talking about
Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah.
Dustin Rhodes Cody, the Dustin Rhodes Cody match from that was just like, that's maybe my, I saw it, and I would, you know, my opinion is colored because I saw it live, but I think that's maybe my favorite match I've ever seen. I was just like, this match was unbelievable.
I think that if someone told me that's their favorite match, it's a perfectly valid favorite match to have. It's
wow.
One of my favorite matches ever. I think it's one of the best matches in wrestling history, actually.
Wow.
I put it up there. I don't think anyone would even dispute that. I don't, it was so, the, just, you know, it's sometimes these moments happen in wrestling where everything aligns, you know what I mean? And I guess nowadays everything's perfect storms seem to be a common occurrence, but
yes.
That was right. But that was like a perfect storm of events. That was like seeing these two wrestle at a sold out pay-per-view like that, with that level of excitement and the storytelling. And then Cody at the end, like, putting his hand out and just being like, I need my brother. So good.
Yeah, so great. And just so much just fucking blood, to the point where I was worried about them. I was worried about Dustin, but
the bleeding in AEW is out of control.
It's bananas. And speaking of which, in the MJF Moxley match,
yeah.
I mean, he's just like, MJF is so cut up and bloody towards the end there. But I, you know, there's another match I thought was satisfying. I don't know exactly. You talked about all these things setting up a lot for the future. I don't know exactly where this goes from here.
Well,
but
the Moxley will be wrestling Lance Archer.
Yeah, I guess so.
And Lance Archer was waiting in the wings. And also, I would argue the setup here is really cool because Moxley, MJF's a little like chicken shit heel bitch, you know what I mean? Just
yes.
For lack of a better term, but that's like his deal. He's actually from where I'm from. He works out in the same gym as my mom in Plainview,
wow.
Long Island.
That's amazing.
Last time I was in the gym, he was lifting. Me and him were lifting in the mirror at the same time.
Wow.
And
I'm
was like,
starstruck. That's unbelievable.
It was so cool. And he definitely could tell I had a weird energy. And he, by the way, he's one. I don't give a shit. I'll approach any wrestler. You know what I mean? Because I just think it's fun. But I like to live a kayfabe lifestyle. So like, I like. I don't need to be your friend. Like, I just want you as a wrestler. But he, I was actually scared to talk to, because I was like, he will stay in character and punk me out in the middle of this gym.
Yeah, I could not handle that. I could not handle MJF cutting a promo on me, even though he's like 15 years younger than me.
He's young and
collapse in tears.
Listen, frankly, he's bigger than me, but not that much, okay? I'm pretty yoked. But listen, here's the deal, folks. No. Here's what I'm going to say about what the setup here is, that you have Lance Archer, Moxley. So Moxley already has another match set up for himself. And also people are excited about that because Lance Archer and Moxley, I think, wrestle that Wrestle Kingdom in Japan. So you get to see a rematch between these two. So the real indie marks are going to love that. Not to mention MJF, Moxley beat MJF with the booth he was not legally allowed to beat him with.
That actually
right?
was great, yeah. Yeah, that actually was awesome. Because I was like, for me, I was just like, how is he going to do it? He can't do it. He's not allowed to do it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like, oh, yeah, they just distract the ref, of course. But it still completely caught me off guard.
Yeah, that booking was, I think, By the way, like the booking of all these, a lot of these finishes were fantastic. And like that finish in particular, we're all like, how is he going to win? And it never crossed my mind that like the path of least resistance, like he's just going to do the paradigm shift. Like yes. That's going to be it. They're going to find a justification, which is like he saw the ring. He's like, oh, you're a fucking cheater. Well, then I'm a cheater. And it's perfect Moxley writing. It's so good. I thought that was I loved that match. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was great, too. It's just like, I don't know. It was overall, like we were saying earlier, it's tough because it was overshadowed by the Matt Hardy thing. But I think overall, this was a positive. This was a good pay-per-view. And I had a good time watching the matches on an individual level for sure.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good. I mean, and also like going back to like the PWG mark thing, like it's very few wrestlers that I get into the zone because I tend to take things for granted and then go like, oh, fuck, man, I should have like cherished that. So something I'm always looking out for is like, so for example, like post WrestleMania 31, John Cena, when he was doing the U.S. Open title challenge stuff, like, I don't know if, you didn't watch then, but you don't watch WWE that much. But like, I was like, man, you know what? I've turned a corner where I'm just going to enjoy John Cena. As like, I mark these moments where I go, I just gonna enjoy John Cena till we don't have him. We don't have him anymore, and I'm so glad I made that choice. I didn't get caught up in any like Super Cena bullshit or like, oh, right. They're always shoving Cena down my throat. Like once it was like, you know what, I'm gonna appreciate him now. I feel the same way about like Young Bucks. I'm just so excited to any whether it's a Wednesday Night Dynamite, a pay per view. I just like. I'm such a mark for them, and I would watch them at PWG. They were such cool guys to buy T-shirts from, and I would order from them on YoungBucksMerch.com at that time, and you'd get, like, one of their wives would literally be signing the shit for you, like, being like, thanks for ordering with, like, a smile, and you're like, just to see them do anything, those guys, I just enjoy everything they do. That's where I'm at with them, you know?
Yeah, the Young Bucks are rad. I you know, they were less at PWG by the time I started watching it, but you know, I certainly was aware of them. And also I saw that when the New Japan came to Long Beach a few years back, I saw Bucks and Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi. And like that match was like, again, just like an unbelievable match. I couldn't believe how good it was. And I couldn't believe just like the level of talent that was in the ring.
Absolutely.
Can I ask you real quick? Cause I don't really know much about Lance Archer. Are you familiar with him at all?
The Murder Hawk, Lance Archer. I'm not like I know he had a big TNA run, and people who watched TNA were kind of like, he was lame there and he's lame now. That seems to be, listen, that's not from everyone, but that's just from like my audience who reaches out to me because I engage. Many would say too much I love talking wrestling people. So if I'll say a question like, what's Lance Archer's deal? I don't know. And then I'll get some messages from some listeners. And the vibe is, I didn't watch much of his work there. He's not young. He's like 46. He's like not young at all. He's actually kind of older for a wrestler, but he's huge. But then he had a New Japan run where he was like the Murder Hawk, and he got over pretty hard in New Japan. And that's when you started hearing about Lance Archer. That's what I know about him. And then, so AEW, I kind of gave him like a clean slate. The only match I had watched of him before was Moxley versus Lance Archer, is the only match I'd ever seen of him before. So when he came in, I was kind of excited because people dig him, you know?
Yes.
But then when they paired him with Jake the Snake, and I thought the booking was super good, and he's a huge guy.
Yeah.
I think
that does a lot for me. I love a hoss, I believe the term is.
The term is hoss. I'm what many, many would consider a body guy. and I love a nice jacked up dude. Like I always say in wrestling, I'm like, listen, there's room for all types of guys and sizes and women and blah, 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 but there's always room for a nice jacked up dude. There's always room. I'll always make room on the roster. Brian Cage wants to be on my roster. He's welcome. You know? Like Batista wants to come back. I'll take him. I don't care what you have to say. He looks great. You know? We'll see where he goes. This will be the big test for Lance Archer for me, I think, for how I feel about him going forward with his feud with Moxley. But I'm really enjoying John Moxley's title run, and I was the biggest Dean Ambrose hater probably on the planet. I did not like Dean Ambrose at all. And I think it goes a long way for me to go talk that kind of shit about Vince, you know what I mean? And then go in and actually back it up in AEW and be like, he's undeniably over with everybody. I just think you cannot – he has balls in and out of the ring, and you just – for me, I respect that, you know?
Moxley rules, and I also just like him completely, like you just said, just completely unloading about a dysfunctional work environment. I guess I just admire that from a labor perspective.
I agree.
Like, yeah.
Especially after Labor Day, which was yesterday.
There you go.
Many have said you're one of the top Labor Day guys, right?
I'm a big Labor Day guy. Yeah.
Many would
big
say
big time.
That. Nick, before I let you go, we got into this for a second. I just want to talk fast food for a second. I know this is not the Doughboys. But I'm deep into hot chicken right now.
Yes.
I'm on a hot chicken tip and I'm looking at you. Tell me, like, I know you're also an LA guy. We probably live in a similar neighborhood. So what should I try? And is there any apps of Doughboys that I should check out specifically about hot chicken?
I want to hear first, like, what spots you've been hitting up. Because
I've mainly been
hitting
Dave's hot chicken.
Yeah,
mainly.
So Dave's is good. I mean, and Dave's is, you know, very accessible. Have you had Hal and Ray's?
No. That's the one.
You got to have Hal and Ray's. I mean, that's the spot.
I heard it's too hard to get.
It's a pain in the ass in normal times. They've switched to, I believe, delivery only via Postmates. So I think you can do it through that. There's a bit of a queue, but it's the best. I mean, Dave's is good, but Hal and Ray's is just on another level. I've had, as far as Doughboys episodes, we reviewed Hattie B's, which is a Nashville hot chicken chain in Nashville. And Hattie B's is pretty good. Hattie B's is a little bit of controversy because it was, you know, it's a chain that is like, they're not the ones who invented hot chicken. They just kind of like took it and were like, and put it in an accessible, well-marketed package in chain form. So they're, you know, a lot of people, not Nashvilleites, will say like it's not like the actual hot chicken, but I feel like as a chain version of it, it's pretty good, and we reviewed that place favorably. But locally in LA, Hal and Ray's for sure.
Oh, I'm gonna get Hal and Ray's tonight. I love it. Also, I was shooting a show last year that should be. I don't know when it's going to come out because of Corona, but I was on the road a bunch, and I stopped at Cane's a lot. Did you guys talk about Cane's ever?
Raising Cane's?
Yeah, I don't know what it's called. I'd never heard of it before, but I was like shooting. It was like the show. I was kind of driving around the South, and I would stop at Cain's, right? Is it called
Raising Cane's? Is it a chicken strips place?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so I believe that's Raising Cane's, which is Louisiana-based, and we have not yet reviewed it for the podcast. A lot of people are imploring us to review Raising Cane's. They're not, like, in L.A., but you can go to the exurbs and find them. But, yeah, that place does all strips. I'm more of a, you know, I like chicken on the bone. I'm a bone in guy versus a tendies guy, and I do like a chicken sandwich, but, you know, the right tenders can win me over, so...
One thing about that place, I'm one of the top tenders guys. Many would say that I'm the top tender man, but I love tenders. I'm a big chicken tender guy. If a tenders are on the menu, it's a huge deal. But, a thing at Cane's, if you're driving, I was driving long distances to shoot location to location, and you could get a gallon of iced tea there. Sweetened or sweetened. They sell it by the gallon. And I would drive and drink it and then see another one and get another gallon from there. They're great iced tea there.
You got to be careful with that sweet tea. That'll sneak up on you.
The calories?
Liquid sugar, yeah.
The cal count? No, I mostly did unsweetened. All right, one more place that I wanted to ask you about.
Yes.
Do you ever drive through Texas and go to I think it's called Buzzies, like the gas stations. Bucky's.
Yeah.
Do you ever talk about those?
We had Colt Cabana, coincidentally enough, on Doughboys recently, and he was wearing a Bucky's shirt.
Really?
He's a big Bucky's fan. And
Bucky's Mark.
Yeah, and so I've only been to Bucky's once. It was driving across Texas because the stretch between cities – in Texas, between major cities in Texas, is like, it's like the length of California. You're driving so far.
Oh yeah.
It's unbelievable how long and how dull those drives are.
Bucky's
like an oasis. Yeah.
It's funny because my wife's from Texas, so she loves Texas. So I make sure, like, we'd have those drives, and I'd be like, oh, there's nothing on this drive. But I'd be like, isn't Texas beautiful the whole time? Because I'm a shit husband. No. But it's crazy because it's a gas – well, you talked about it already, but it's a gas station, but they have barbecue at the gas station, and it's fucking good. And I would stop that. I would stop at Cane's, get iced tea, and I would stop – anyway, I just wanted to know if you ever had it, because I know you're it's like literally the most bizarre thing, because you go into – in my mind, it's bizarre. You're like gassing up, and then you go in, and it's just like a classic convenience store, like, you know, you get a gas station. But then they just have, like, in the center, guys just like making brisket sandwiches.
Like, yeah, I've only been there as used it as a gas station and convenience store. I didn't actually get the barbecue, which was a mistake on my part. But it's just like also the square footage of it, because you're these just gigantic flat, like, you know. You're on these planes, and it's just they're just so there's so much sprawl, and they're just like these fucking arena-sized convenience stores. It's just an unbelievable sight.
Yeah, it's great. Anyway, all right, I did a little Doughboys corner for the super fans, but no, Nick, it was great. I'm so glad I finally got to chat with you about some wrestling, and we got to make it happen even in these weird Zoomy circumstances. Zoomies sounds like a fast food chain. Zoomies? You have to eat it over Zoom. The employee eats it for you. And you tell me how it tastes. It's for people on a diet. People are restricted. But yeah, Nick, thanks for coming by Cal Podcast. And by the way, everybody, check out Nick. Obviously, check out the Doughboys Podcast. Check out How Did This Get Played?
There you go.
I said it right that time. Where you play old video games, right? Like old shitty video games.
Yeah, worst and weirdest video games. Me and Heather Ann Campbell and Matt Appledock. And hey, I'll shout out something else. That I have this new Disney Plus show that I wrote for called Earth to Ned. And Earth to Ned has – we actually have a segment we shot, and I can't remember if it's in this run of episodes or in the next run of episodes coming up. But we shot a segment with Jake Atlas, which was a lot of fun.
You know what? I knew that because anything wrestling related, people tell me about. But also, this show, Earth to Ned, is probably the show I know the most people who work on. I don't think there's a person who works on that show who is not a friend of mine. And so many great, funny people. If you have Disney Plus, you have to check out the show, because I can vouch for every person on that staff. Plus, Jake Atlas. I know Jake Atlas wrestled on the show, so that's amazing.
Yeah, and I didn't give any context for what this. Thank you for saying that. I didn't give any context for what the show is, but it's basically there's a giant alien Muppet or a puppet. He's not officially a Muppet, but there's a giant alien puppet. It's produced by the Jim Henson Corporation, and it's a lot of fun. So that's another thing you can check out if you're starved for content.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was working with Sierra on something, and then she moved over to your guys' show.
Yeah,
she's amazing. All those people are amazing. So check out Earth to Ned if you have Disney Plus, which you have because you watched Hamilton. and check out all of Nick's stuff. You got amazing stuff going on. Nick, we got to talk wrestling again. Hit me up anytime if you want to talk either fast food or wrestling. I'm always down.
For sure.
Two things that go amazingly together. Maybe we should do a watch with a bunch of fast food, wrestling. I mean, I feel like there's something to be done there. There's something to be done.
There's crossover opportunities.
There's many crossover. Many people are talking about cross promotion, and we'll make it happen. Relax, people, okay? Relax. We're doing this
show. Calm the fuck down.
Just fucking calm down. I'm
back
sick
off.
Of you. All right, Nick, hey, thanks for coming by, man.
Thanks, Dan.
Bye.
Of wrestling, I listen up
Wednesday
when I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.